You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by Northside Bible Church.
Okay, let's go to our scripture reading in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, completely furnished unto all good works. And now may the Lord add His blessing to this, the reading of His holy word, and this we pray in Christ Jesus' name, and for His sake. Amen. Let's begin with prayer. Join our hearts and minds. Father God, we pause here just before the lesson that we may thank You for Your goodness and graciousness towards us. We thank You for a plan of salvation and a purpose for the ages that are a blessing in so many ways, that the Scriptures reveal those plans and Your purpose, and that we might walk faithful to that. We pray, Father, that the lesson magnify and glorify Your Son and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and we pray, Father, that it touch the hearts, that the Spirit might be able to address each need that we have. We thank You ahead of time for what You're going to accomplish. And we thank You in Christ Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen. I wanted to say there in the middle of that prayer, right here and right now. You remember how Mac used to say that? And the Spirit do it. The only way that the Spirit does work is through the Word of God. Do you know that? You know, there was a time when the Spirit did move, but it was always in accordance with the Word of God. And our focus today on these passages is on the Word of God. If you look at verse 14, we covered some of this last week, but just quickly, there are two things here that Paul admonishes or brings to Timothy's remembrance. He says, but continue thou. Well, that but points us back to the verse before. And look at the verse 13. He says, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. What are you going to do as things get worse and worse? And those of us that have a perspective of 50 years and back, think about how many changes have taken place in 50 years. I can't... is this confession time? It seemed like some of the shows that we watch on TV, it seemed like this month is the homosexual ratings month. I don't hate to bring that up. I'm glad to bring it up. It's TV has gotten worse and worse, and is more out in front. And it's just such subtle ways. They're dumbing the people down in our nation in regard to this agenda, the homosexual agenda, which even our own members of the body of Christ, the church, are watering it down. Well, you know, you're just being judgmental. That's what they always claim about Christians. And the reason young people are leaving the church or leaving home and not getting involved in the church is because they look back at parents who are judgmental. Let me tell you, God's judgmental. He doesn't pull any punches about it. Nobody likes to hear this, but bring it up once in a while. And just say, you know what God thinks about homosexuals? They're reprobate. God believes they have a reprobate mind. And those are things we're to stand up against. We're to point them out. And we're not to be shy about it. We're not to be shy about it. The Word of God is the only way that we know about things like that. It's what God teaches us. Paul there says in verse 14, so in light of how bad things are, he says, continue in the things which thou hast heard, hast learned, and hast been assured of. Those two things. One, he's learned them. Someone had to teach him. Somebody had to teach him those things for him to learn it. And that's, if you go back to chapter 2, verse 2 of this same letter, Paul gives us a four-generation picture of how that happens. He says, and the things that thou hast heard from me among many witnesses. That's two generations right there. The things that thou hast heard from me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. That's two more generations. Paul to Timothy to teach others who are to be faithful in teaching others after them. That's what he's... And these are the things that we learn. Timothy was taught by his mother, who was taught by his grandmother. And he's to teach others, so we see the perfect picture there. The four generations. And not only does he have to learn those things, someone has to teach him, but then guess what he's got to do? He has to be assured of them. Now, how are you assured of anything? You ladies who cook, you know the proof is in the pudding. Yeah, you taste it. There's nothing greater than tasting the Word of God. You know, in fact, David talks about that. Turn over to Psalms chapter 34. David talks about the tasting of the Word of God. Psalms 34. And our focus is going to be on verse 8. I'll give you just a second to look at that. But then let's back up to verse 1. Let's just take a moment and read verses 1 through 8. And really this goes all the way down to about 14 or 15. Verse 1. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were radiant, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps round about those who fear him and delivers them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusteth in him. There is a testing of the Lord. A tasting of the Lord. There is that putting it into practice. There is that trying it. Go through that trial with him and see if he's faithful and see if he brings assurance into your life. And many of God's people have. Many of God's people have and come out on the other end. These songs we sang this morning are a testimony of people who have tasted the Lord, who have put that to the test and have seen that God is true and forthright in what he has to say. You know, there is a passage over in Psalms 119. So let's turn over there real quick. You can't help but go back, and if you've read the scriptures of and the stories of David, you know how many trials he was in, and yet he continually had confidence and trust in the Lord. Psalms 119, I think it's verse 103. And you know, Psalms 119 is all about the Word of God. I think out of 172 verses, only five do not mention the Word of God. Only five. Notice in 103, how sweet are thy words unto my taste. Yea, stronger than honey, or sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. It's only the Word of God, once it is proven and been tasted, begins to have an impact on a believer's life. But the first thing is that a believer must be a believer. Come on back to our passage in 2 Timothy. And notice in verse 15, and that from a child, Paul goes on to remind Timothy, thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. Wise. The very first thing that anybody needs is not dispensational teaching 101. They need to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. That's the very first thing we need to be aware of in the life of a person. Are you saved? When did you get saved? How did you get saved? If you die today and you go to heaven, on what basis are you going to ask God to let you into heaven? Just ask them some simple, basic questions. Now, if they're not a believer, they may be hard-hearted. And they may be ridiculing people who taste the Lord. I've got a guy that I've never met, but he's an insurance agent. And he's got a car. And he parks it outside his office. And it's covered with Scripture. It's covered with Scripture. And somebody came up to me one day and said, you know, I don't know why somebody has to do that. I said, do what? And they said, put Scripture all over their car, you know, just right out there in your face. I said, well, wait a minute. I said, if there's a God, and I believe there is, if there's a God, and he has said that this is his word, and I want people to know it. Well, why do you have a problem with him following what God wants him to do? Well, he just shouldn't do it. Well, I don't think that's a candidate for salvation. I think that's a candidate for the conviction of the Holy Spirit of sin, and there's a process there that they go through. And that's just something to pray about. But God here says, you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. You know, it's the Word of God that has born us again. Look over at Peter, a couple of verses to the right, books to the right. 1 Peter. This is an important verse. If you don't have this verse highlighted or underlined or marked so that you'll know where it is in your Bible, look for it. 1 Peter chapter 2 in verse 23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. I'm sorry, I said 1 Peter chapter 2. It's chapter 1. Oh, good, let's read it again. Wow. Yes, sir. Oh, that thunder. Reminds me of that DVD we watched, the God of Wonders, and all the lightning that tied that part that talked about the lightning, and they showed all the lightning that was going on, not just in one place, but all over the world. Just amazing, the awesomeness, the power of God, and the wonders of God. Wait a minute. That may have been the basketball team just getting into town. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23, again, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. There are so many other passages, but we know it's the word of God. Come up over to Psalms 19. David, once again, Psalms 19, what a rich chapter this is. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. But I want you to focus in verses 7, 8, and 9. He has six descriptions for the Word of God. The Word of God. Six descriptions in chapter 19, verse 7. He says, the law of the Lord is perfect. And what's it do? Converts the soul. The very first one, right out of the gate, he talks about salvation. The most important aspect. And not only that, he goes on, the testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Remember Paul talked about it? Making you wise unto salvation. All comes from the Word of God. Word of God. There is in Mark the first use of this phrase, the Word of God. And come to Mark with me in chapter 7. Mark chapter 7. There is a law of Scripture that talks about the first use. And the first use of a word or a phrase is something that's important, and we ought to look at it. And here in the book of Mark, the Gospel of Mark in chapter 7 and verse 13, we see the Word of God for the first time in the New Testament. The Word of God, that phrase. He says, making, verse 13, making the Word of God of no effect through your tradition, which you have delivered, and many such things do ye. What is always the challenge? The Word of God. The very first time that this phrase is used, God challenges us to be careful not to be caught up in traditions or the teachings of men. He teaches us to focus on His Word. It is His Word that gives life. It is His Word, and particularly the living Word, that is a pure and simple revelation of who He is. We see it again in the dispensational letters written to us, and the mystery in chapter 6 of Ephesians. Turn there, and we see this phrase in the first time that it's addressed to us. In chapter 6 of Ephesians, verse 17, in talking about the full armor of God, Paul writes, now take the helmet of salvation, verse 17, Ephesians 6:17. Take that helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. I'll tell you another aspect of it. We have it right over here on the wall in one of the paintings that we have up here. It says, the Word of God is quick and powerful. Now, turn there to Ephesians. Probably easier on your neck. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12. The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The Word of God is quick and powerful. You know that word quick? That means alive. It means it's living. Paul talks about the living and the dead, the quick and the dead, and he means the living. And that means if you're in Oklahoma City, if you're not quick out there on those highways, you may be dead. I'm sorry, did I? Oh, no. Hebrews. Oh, good. We get to read it again. I know. I'm waiting for the thunder. Let's read it again. Hebrews 4:12. Yeah, I saw Janice look at me like, what? Oh, my goodness. I bet that's a good verse, too. I'll have to go back and look and see where I sent you. But right now, it's Hebrews. Hebrews 4:12. The Word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. This Word of God, now think about this, this Word of God does more than a regular physical sword, which can only pierce through the body. It can't touch the soul and the spirit, but the Word of God goes all the way to those deeper places, the soul and the spirit. The Word of God goes even to the point of testing your heart, my heart, and the intentions of our heart. And if we stay away from the Word of God, then we'll be, like James said, people who look at a glass darkly. We're not going to be looking at something that is going to be open to us and revealing to us. So the Word of God. Come on back to 2 Timothy. I think I got that one right. 2 Timothy. He says that, continue in these things. And he says, be assured of these things. You know, we sang that song, What Can Wash Away My Sin? That's one of the things, you know, Timothy was taught. That's one of the things that he learned. What can wash away my sins? He's seen all of these pictures at the temple of the sacrifices. And he saw all that blood. And he knew that God in the Scriptures talked about the sacrifices and how these things were an atonement for sin, but not for all sin. And when Paul came to him and began to reveal to him the revelation of who Jesus was, that he was the Christ and that he was the Son of God, he began to take those passages and look at them from that perspective. And he began to know that he was the one. He was what could wash away my sin. He was that fountain that we sang about this morning. Didn't know how appropriate those two songs you picked out, Sherry, were going to fit right in. But they do. That's one of the things that he learned. That's what he was taught. There was a story about Billy Graham. And when he was young, and in his younger days, and Billy was just really on target. One of the greatest evangelists of our time that we could have ever that we've ever known. There have been a lot of evangelists, but he's one in the 50s and 60s that have a tremendous impact on a lot of lives. But at that time, he preached a lot about the blood. And a professor, a young professor from Cornell University, as the story goes, came up to him and said, Billy, you are really good. You have a tremendous talent to share the gospel. And you have that opportunity to not just share it locally, but nationally and maybe internationally. But you know what? There's one thing you've got to do. You have got to quit talking about that blood stuff. that blood stuff. You know, I wouldn't doubt if that professor from Cornell University didn't have one of those new translations. New translations where the blood of Christ has been removed numerous times. Numerous times. The other things that he learned, Paul goes on to talk about salvation through faith. Salvation through faith. I'm in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. Through faith, and that faith is in Christ Jesus. By grace are we saved. Through faith, and that not of ourselves. It's a gift of God, even as Christ Himself was a gift. Verse 16. Paul says, now listen, there are going to be a lot of challenges about this. Things that we've talked about just now. Challenges about the blood and the efficacy of the blood. There's going to be challenges about the Word and the inerrancy of the Word. But let me tell you, all Scripture is given or inspired by God. All Scripture is inspired by God. Many people today challenge that. I had brought to my attention, and I have mentioned this to you before, that Rick Warren, who is a leader of an evangelical movement called the Purpose Driven Church and has established churches all over the United States and probably the world, he had a statement that he made on May the 23rd in the year 2005 at the Pew Forum on Religion and Public Life. And he said, quote, the word fundamentalist actually comes from a document in the 1920s called The Five Fundamentals of the Faith. And it's a very legalistic, narrow view of Christianity. Well, Noah Hutchings dug that out. And in his book, he printed this up. He says, the five fundamentals of faith to which Dr. Warren is referring and objecting to are, number one, the inerrancy and full authority of the Bible. Two, the virgin birth and full deity of Jesus Christ. Three, the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Four, Christ's atoning, vicarious death for the sins of the world. And five, the literal second coming of Jesus Christ. Those are the fundamentals back in the 1920s that he is saying are very legalistic and very narrow. We have problems today. We have lots of problems today. Are the Scriptures all inspired by God? Or are they just the words of men as they understood God? And that's the problem that's going on. And with all the different translations, we see that problem being exasperated. It's just growing and growing, and we're having more complications. You know, Leland, in his Keep Looking Up article in the Reflections, the Loops magazine this month, he said, you know, most churches don't do unison reading anymore. They can't. There's so many different translations out in the congregation that, you know what unison reading is? We'd go to a passage and the pastor would read one verse and then the congregation would read the next and then the pastor would read and then the congregation. You couldn't do it today, could you? No. No. We've lost that. And it's caused an undermining of whether or not the Word of God is the Word of God. And it's created a lot of problems with Christians too, because Christians aren't real sure. The hardest thing in the world, and I found this out in Bible studies, is to get a man to read the Word of God. It really is. Until he's under the conviction of the Holy Spirit, and then he can't get enough of it. And most Christians today don't study the Word of God. They're like that little boy who got himself a new dog. He got him a dog. And a fellow came up and said, well, that's a good-looking dog you got there. He said, what kind of dog is that? He said, he's a police dog. A police dog? Well, he doesn't look like a police dog. Well, I know he doesn't look like a police dog, the boy said, but he's in the Secret Service. There's too many Christians are acting the same way. They're in the Secret Service or undercover. Undercover. Well, next time we get together, we're going to finish up verses 16 and 17 because there's so much in this passage that we need to look at about all Scripture is inspired by God. Now, I'll leave you with this one thought. Not all Scripture is to us. All Scripture is for us, but we have our own private mail. Our own private mail. Don't forget that. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the Word. Thank you for the challenge of studying the Word and spending time in it. But thank you for the rich reward that comes from it. The reward that guided Joseph while he was in Potiphar's house. And the word that guided Daniel when he was in the lion's den. And even the word that brought back Peter and converted Paul and even Timothy. We thank you, Father, for the assurance that we have of salvation. We thank you, Father, for the calling in the heavenlies above, your plan and your purpose for us is marvelous. May we not ignore it. May we embrace it, taste it, prove it, and give you the glory. And we pray this in Christ Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.